Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 95, part 2, A Warning to the Self-Righteous. Today is Sunday, April 26th, 2009. Hello and happy spring. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also go to the blog, and there you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find links to the scriptures within today's message. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now be sure to join us for both episodes, every Friday, part 1, and every Sunday, part 2. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week, and God bless you.
That's where our preaching has come to. We're always showing people that, well, you know, there's a lot of good in you. Well, there is Jesus. Not on your own. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now let's pass to the second point. The man who uses this plea condemns the plea himself. Not only does the plea cut its own throat, but the man himself is aware when he uses it that it is full of evil. Now he knows while he's talking it's full of evil. When he has this type of a plea, you ever be talking and you can hear yourself talking and you know you're lying while you're talking? You do. You say, and someone says, don't you just love her? And you say, oh yes, I do love. And you hear yourself talking, but you hate that person. And then you have to think, did I say I hated her or did I say I loved her? And you don't know which voice was talking the loudest, your conscience or your vocal cords. You don't know. Can you see why we're hopelessly lost without the righteousness of Christ and without the divine teachings of the Holy Ghost? But you know that it is an evil and false and vain refuge. You know now this is a matter of the conscience, and therefore I must deal plainly with all of you listening. Now if I do speak, and you listening on the radio to this tape, not what you have felt, then just say you are mistaken, Pastor Paul. But then if I speak what you must confess to be true, let it then be the voice of God to you. Men know that they are guilty. They do. The conscience of the proudest man, when ungagged, tells him, you deserve the wrath of God. Now you may brag, and he may boast, and he may boast in public. He may act out a part, but his bragging and his loudness of his bragging proves that he has an uneasy conscience. You find someone that's always bragging, someone that's always boasting and doing it very loudly. He's trying to drown out his conscience. And his high C screech gives him away. Well, I think there is some good in man! His conscience is saying something else. And so he drowns it out with a whole lot of loud bragging and a whole lot of arrogance. And a whole lot of self-preservation and a whole lot of how about me and my rights and I'm right and you're wrong. And he tries to drown it out with a whole lot of shouting. What's happening? The conscience has been awakened, and the conscience is speaking loud and clear, and that is that God consciousness that man is born with. It's called his conscience. And it's always there, and it's always speaking to them, and it's always convicting them, and it's always showing them that they're guilty and they must turn to God. A lot of them don't know that until someone comes, and how will they know unless a preacher comes? How will they know unless he preaches after he comes? But you know, even from your own life, that you had those things. You did wrong, and right away you did wrong. Why? You turned around, looked around. And then siren went off. Woo! Mother called your name. Junior! What are you doing? Nothing. Huh? Are you in that paint? No. Who, me? Not me. And then he talks real loud to cover up his conscience. I didn't do it! I didn't do it! I didn't do it! Well, who are you trying to convince? It's no use. You got paint all over your hands. Now you're going to have handprints all over the seat of your pants. How are you hearing this tonight? It's always there. And you know, all a preacher has to do is get out there and convict the person. The person already knows. All you're doing is agreeing with the conscience. And that's why people so readily go to Christ. You don't tell them, you don't agree with their human point of view. Oh, you're so good. God would never put you in hell. You're such a wonderful person. And don't pay no attention to that paint that's all over your hands. It's quite all right. No, there is only one way to heaven. That's receiving Jesus Christ as your righteousness, your personal Savior, your personal righteousness. That personal robe that He'll put around you for free. If you'll just agree. See, it says the word is near you, the word is in your mouth, the word that we preach. That if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou will be saved. It's been there since you've been born. It's in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. The word that we're telling you is in your mouth already. God has put it in there. And it's in your heart. It's already there. And if you'll agree and if you'll say it, and you'll agree with God's word by saying it, the faith will meet and it'll happen and it'll be all over. Are you a sinner? And the same way with your kids. Did you do it? Yes. That's all I wanted to know. You must be punished because there's a punishment for your sin. But I'm not going to kick you out of the house. And I'm not going to kick you out of the kingdom of God. There's a consequence to your choices, good or bad. But in the end, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's going to bring you in. Now you got to preach that to people. And as you preach it to people, you'll be preaching to yourself. Men know that they are guilty. And at times, like I said, they can hear themselves talk. And they think this, they say, is that me saying this? What a liar I am. The person says, no, you know you're good. And the person can shake their head, yeah. But their conscience is saying, oh no. Remember what you did last night? How about the week before? And sometimes they say, oh, that's the accuser, the devil. No, it's your conscience. It's your conscience if it lines up with the Word of God. Remember what you did this time? You did that time? And all these things start piling up in your life. And you start to see yourself, and now God is allowing things to happen. Homosexuality. Rights movements. The woman's movement looks more like a man's movement, but it's a woman's movement. The women that preach that look like Mack truck emblems, you know what I mean? And the homosexual movement. And you know what? If you were to confront them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they know in their heart they're wrong. And so they start their own church. They even start their own church, and they go all the way with the Word of God, except on that one point in Homer, and they talk real like, we're right, we're right! And why are they talking so loudly? And they want everybody to change, and now they want you to change, and they change your hairdo, and they give you bell-bottom trousers, and hip huggers, and they try to make everybody like them, see? And that's the spirit, by the way. And that's the spirit that tries to pick up all the women and the flow of the women's movement. Oh, and it works with their flags, you know what I mean? See, it hasn't got nothing to do with God. And what it does is preserve self. But it's so easy to fall into that trap because maybe at that particular time you're mad at hubby. I have my rights. I think these people are right. No, they're wrong. They're liars. Well, how do you know that? God says so. Oh, and whatever I hear the infidel say, hard things about my Jesus Christ. It reminds me of a tribe that when they sacrificed their children, they beat the drums real loud so they couldn't hear their cries. Boom, 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 huh? Beating real loud. That's the same way we do with our consciences. We override it with our loud talking. Maybe we've done something against a brother or a sister. So in order to drown that out, it takes several people in the room to talk back and forth. And then did this happen and that happened. And then when they leave, then they're all alone. When they go to bed at night, they're all alone with their conscience. And they know they've done wrong, even though everybody agreed. Huh? And when they put Jesus on the cross and they all yelled and shouted, crucify him! Crucify him! When they went to bed that night, their consciences went to bed with them. And when people say, it's all right, move in. I still cannot get used to this. It's been around for a while, but I see a boy and a girl together or a man and a woman together, whatever, and say, and then who is this person? That's my roommate. Now, I can't fathom that. I mean, you know what I mean? That's my roommate. This is a man and a woman together. They're not married. They're roommates. And even while they're saying it, they know it's wrong. That's my roommate. They want you to say, oh, I'm pleased to meet you. I never shake hands with them. I just say. I don't want to. I just don't want to. You understand? I don't want to agree with that. This is my roommate. What do you think of her? Aren't they? Because the minister is not giving out a clear message, you're saying, well, that's all right. Times have changed. It's all right to have a roommate. It isn't all right because your conscience is speaking to you. So Amen. We know that there's a consciousness, there's a God consciousness that's telling us these things. And there's people all over that are suffering right now, and they need to know the Word of God. Need to have someone tell them, that's wrong, God says so. And you can be free of that, and your conscience will let you sleep at night. They won't shout at you, sinner, sinner, and it won't, you know. I believe these loud blasphemies and these braggart boastings are only noisy ways of drowning out the shrieks of our conscience. I remember when I'd get into sin and I'd have like pins and darts all over my body right after I committed them. It'd just be like little pins all over my body. You know what I felt like? I knew, I didn't know God, but I knew God was watching me. And I kind of put my head down like this. And it'd take me about 10 minutes to walk it off. And I'd walk it off, and I'd lay down in bed, and that thing would hit me. Yeah, praise the Lord for your conscience. But never, ever believe that these men are honest. And I think all controversy with such men is a waste. I think it's a waste. Never tell the thief the principles of honesty, or the adulterer about chastity. Don't get into it. Devils are not to be reasoned with. They are to be cast out by the Word of God. You cannot reason with the devil. And I believe I would never cross swords with a man who says there is no God. You know why? He knows there is a God. He knows it. Or why else would he argue? Just tell him, well, there is a God. Prove it! I don't have to prove it. You know it in your heart. Don't you? No, there is no God. Well, go to bed tonight, and you go to sleep tonight, and you lay down, and you say there is no God, just like counting sheep going over the fence, and I'll guarantee you, you won't go to sleep. Because you know what, fella? You know there is a God. You know that God loves you and he wants you to change, and I'm telling you, you must confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved, and your conscience will let you go to sleep, and it will be washed. That's all I have to say, sir. Good day. Because he knows. I knew there was a God because he was always on me all the time. I didn't know how to get to him, but I knew he was there. How many can relate with what I'm saying here tonight? And then again, when a man laughs at the Holy Scripture, you need not argue with him. He is either a fool or he is either a liar. His conscience is still telling him that God is. He knows full well that he speaks falsely. He knows it. And that's all you have to do is tell him. You know what you're talking about is baloney, right? Now, this is what I would have told that man. Very simple, I'd say. Now, you've been in the Word of God? And do you believe that you must be born again? Well, you know what you're saying then is baloney, right? Come on, admit it. Come on, come on, come on. Just tell everybody everything you're saying is baloney. Now, I realize that wouldn't be real fancy and you know, all that. But if God would have you speak that way, it would work. Now, you realize what you're saying is baloney, don't you? You know, you're not going to go to sleep tonight, and you will not sleep until you get right with God. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. And you know why? Your conscience is speaking to you right now, and you're having a hard time getting your words out because you can't hardly remember what you're to say next because your conscience is interrupting you while you're talking. And you know, you almost have to say, shut up, conscience. You have to talk real loud so you drown it out and you can get out what you had to say, and you got real mad at that woman down there because she came up with some words that just floored you. You're an idiot. Oh, my. Ha ha ha. And furthermore, what that woman had to say about you was true. We are all idiots when we go against the God that we know is. We are all idiots. We know God is. How many are hearing this? Many a man who has come against God says, he heard a voice telling him. I used to hear voices. I believe it, you're nuts. Yeah, well, so what? But you know what they were? They were God's voice. I never really knew what they were, but it was an awesome thing. And then one day I knew it was God's voice when I was standing 13 years ago in a church and God spoke to me audibly and put me in ministry. But I stood there under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And all those years I knew there was a God. I knew it. When I was a wee kid, I knew there was a God. I used to pray any time before I got in a fight with somebody, God help me beat his brains out. I knew there was a God. Oh, that's so terrible to talk that way. Well, that's the way I prayed. But the point is that I believed there was a God. Now, how many are hearing what I'm saying here? It might have been a perverse prayer, but it still showed me that there was a God. And I knew there was a God. And I hear someone say, point well taken. Lighten up on. I'm just telling you like it is. How many are hearing this message tonight? There is always that witness in your hearts. And it'll not cease its testimony. You know what it's saying? It cries out, you are a sinner. Are you hearing this? You are a sinner. And you have only to listen to it and you'll throw away all your good works. And you'll sit down and you'll say, God, I am a sinner. My conscience speaks to me a lot of times. You know what it says? Thou art a sinful man. How about yours? Does your conscience speak to you, or it's not seared? Does it speak to you? That wasn't right. That attitude was wrong. Why did you talk like that? But you out there that do not know Jesus Christ, death stands waiting. Why, your conscience keeps warning you. And even as I preach, you listening may refute this message to yourself and say, well, I believe I'm as good as others. And what's all this fuss about the new birth and imputed righteousness and being washed in the blood? It's all very unnecessary, you know. But then in the loneliness of your very own room, especially when death is near, you know in your heart, and it's talking loud and clear, and you get that queasy feeling down inside your gut, and you see it very clearly all for yourself. You see it with the eyes of horror, and you feel it with a heart of dismay and despair, and you perish because you have despised the righteousness of Christ. And I'm saying right now while you're listening, turn from that. And at that very judgment day, you will be gathered and the trumpet sounds. And do you have a planned speech? Do you have proof of your righteousness? You fed the poor, you took care of the widow, you gave so much, and you belonged to the PTA, and you got into all kind of public works, and you marched with signs, and you were against the bomb, and you ate fish every Friday, and you said 20 Hail Marys every day, and you read the scriptures daily, and you had nightly prayers. Okay, fine. Now come forward then. I see this man coming forward, and I see that he's tongue-tied. Look at his lips, they're all white, sort of purple. And he's sweating, and he's trembling, and he's having trouble with opening up his briefcase of good works. And I say to those people, come forward, you millions who have rejected Christ and despised his blood. Now come and say, all the commandments I have kept from my youth up. Why are you then seized with horror? Why then are your bowels loosed, like the Bible says? Where is your boasting now? But you, the very best of you, are crying out, ye rocks, hide me, ye mountains, open up your stony bowels and cover me. Let me hide myself from the face of him that sits upon the throne. Why are you such a coward? Why don't you come forth to your Maker? Come, infidel. Now tell of all you've done. Come while hell is flaming up into your nostrils. Come now and excuse and accuse the preacher and the Bible of controlling people through fear. And hear then the groans and all the shouting then and screams. Would you now care to take back and retract all that you've said? And this is a type of message you've got to start giving to the world. It's got to be a heavy message. Whew. And then the plea is itself evidence against the pleader. There is then the ungenerated man here who says, I am blind also, and I answer with the words of Jesus. But now ye say, we see, and therefore your sin remaineth. You have proved by your own plea in the first place that you have never been enlightened by the Holy Ghost, but that you remain in a state of ignorance. And then the deaf man might say, there is no such thing as music. And the man that has never seen might say, the stars say there is no such things as a star. And he only proves his folly, his own ignorance. And then there is the man that can say a half a word about his own righteousness. He has never known the grace of God. Or he wouldn't preach any of his own righteousness. He has never been enlightened by God, the Holy Ghost. And if you today feel yourself to be guilty, lost, and ruined, there is the richest hope for you in the gospel. But if you feel I am good and I have merits, the law condemns you. A man can be a true Christian, I believe, and fall into sin, but a man cannot be a true Christian and boast in his own self-righteousness. It can't happen. A man can be saved and be in the mire. But he can't be saved if he doesn't know that he has been in filth. And if he's not willing to confess that guilt before God. How many are hearing this message tonight? There are no conditions to salvation. But I believe this, that any man that has received the grace of God will know his own state of depravity, and he will know his own state of ruin. But then again, when you say, I am not guilty, you have not been made ready. You are made ready. How many know you were made ready? Some were made the hard way, made ready. God makes you ready. And that conscience, praise God, when you listen to the conscience and that word that's been put in your mouth and put in your heart, the word we preach, that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you match make it with the Word of God, and you repeat what God has told you to say, say it. That saves you. That is the most fantastic message, glory to God, that ever was. Praise the Lord for His grace and for all of His wisdom. And now it gets a little bit deeper, don't it? Because we're starting to deal with righteous things. Oh. Ooh. See, the self-righteous are the ones that can't make it because they're righteous on their own. Now the salvation, and I'll close with this, is for believers. And for believers only. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. It's saying that to the thirsty and to the hungry, come. And then those that say, I am good, those are the ones that will be cast out. Don't be like the Pharisee who made their own righteousness and wouldn't submit to the righteousness of Christ. Don't do that. Come tonight, all ye sinners, everyone to Christ. Admit what you know to be true about yourself and receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me make one last point. Namely, this plea, and if we retain it, not only accuses the pleader now, but it will ruin the pleader forever. Here's a man that kills himself. He kills himself, and he kills himself without Christ. He's without a plea. And like the man crawling sick in the street, and the physician says, I have this expensive remedy, but I'm going to give it to you free, but he won't receive it. When he dies, and when he's heard the message, the blood is on his own hands, you listening. You are a suicide case. You have heard the message, and you haven't received it. The free gift of God. And here's another man that wants proof of another world. He says, prove to me that there's more than what's down here. I'm going to drink and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. And he burns out without Jesus Christ. His candle goes out without the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you are a suicide case. You've committed suicide. Another says, I despise vices. I am upright. I am honest. I am commendable before men. I don't feel that I need salvation. And if I did, I can get it for myself. You are a suicide case. And just talk plain to people. Brother, what you're saying is committing suicide, spiritual suicide, because you know that you're a sinner. You know that there's a God, and I'm going to give you the door, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to give you a way into God, Jesus Christ. Think about it before you commit suicide. And then there's the person that you're going to run into that will say, well, I would come, but I'm not good enough. Do you know what that person is also? He's also self-righteous. He's only wearing another coat. You see why? He's waiting until he can bring in something with himself. If you simply don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a suicide case. Because unbelievers, the moment you die, demons come to collect your soul. But you believers, the moment you believe, you know that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Isn't that exciting? Let me read from Psalm 143 and 11. Take about 2 minutes. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. See, there is no life and there is no light that can come but comes from God. He is the giver of life. It says, quicken me. And I thought, well, why would he do this? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, simply because he wants to. He delights in mercy. He delights in it. Keep on calling and he will continue to quicken you. How many know you can be quickened in your spirit? I've been praying with different people and they say, ooh, what was that? I says, that is the quickening of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what was that? And they look all over us as that was the quickening of the Holy Ghost. It's almost like they got a shock treatment. Oh, God, ain't it great? Oh, that feels so good. Oh, that feels so good. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. I can bring it in, but only God can bring it out. I am in trouble. Help me. Let's give a word out to those people that are out there. And I think tonight, as I ministered this message, many of us started to reconstruct our own thoughts. See, until we get right in what we're giving out, we can't give it out. You get out of practice. See, if you forget from whence you came, then how are you going to bring somebody else in? See, if you're always learning and never coming to know Jesus and you're never preaching to the unsaved, how are you going to become practiced at the art of bringing those in? Paul says, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe the same of myself. Woe be it. When I was at this picnic with some 5,000 people, woe be it to me if I didn't give out the gospel message. In season, out of season, when it's handy, when it isn't handy. Woe be it to you if you don't give out the message. See, you give out what you believe in. And when you give out what you believe in, you know what you get? More of what you believe in. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pushed down, packed together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? When they make contact with Jesus Christ, you get a part of the action. When they're quickened in their spirit, they say, woo, what was that? You say, woo, I don't know, I think that was a Lord. Woo, that was a God. And so when I pray for people, I say, thanks, I needed that. Thanks, I needed that. When we start to believe and we start to give out the gospel and we drop all the self-righteous attitudes and all those, Kilroy was here. Oh, I've been there already. I'm moving on in God. Hey, do it for you. I'm moving on in God. Oh, that simple message of salvation. I'm moving on. Oh, I'm trucking on down the road. Huh? I'm not babysitting with you jerks. I'm going on. Do you ever think about their blood? Do you ever take a look at your own hands? Do you ever hear the message of Paul? Woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we better get into messages just like this and get convicted in our own spirits and remember from whence we came. And say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And say, oh God, I know exactly what you're going through. And let me now help you. Here's the way. Jesus is the way. You've known that all the time, haven't you? You know you're a sinner. And sometimes I pray with people and I say, I'm a sinner. And they'll say, I know I'm a sinner. They'll say it like that. And little kids, when they get done praying, and I'll say, praise the Lord. They'll say, yeah, praise the Lord. They don't know none of this. They don't know enough to say that, but their spirit knows it. It's in them. That God consciousness has been in him all that time, wooing him in and wooing him in. That God part of man, that consciousness of God. We're all conscious of God. We're all conscious when we do wrong. We're all conscious when we do right. Before we're saved, we know we did wrong. The kid hits the other kid. He looks around, see if mom's watching. Bam! What'd you do? Not done. He hit me first. Huh? How many heard this message tonight? Better go out and give the gospel away. Now, is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? So if you